This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I don't like sushi, so to me, all sushi is bad. And now, of course, any sponsor who wants to sell sushi on the show, well, you know what? If you do, I'll learn to like it.
Hey, sushi was great pre-Fukushima, and now I have to avoid that.
Fukushima, yeah. I can't have sushi anymore. My favorite cuisine. I got to get one of those special food-grade Geiger counters to be able to go buy sushi, you know, grade fish, unfortunately. Very, very, very disturbing. Ugh. Speaking of sushi, I think that there should be are we back on here, Gene?
We've been back on, yes.
Oh, okay. I think dating sites should have a way to somehow capture a particular perspective, somehow capture their natural scent. And, you know, I found that with some of the limited research I've done with smell and odors, that particular people tend to be attracted to particular sets of pheromones emitted by the opposite sex. So what may turn on one woman about a man is totally disgusting to another woman, and vice versa. What may turn on a guy about a particular woman would be unattractive to somebody else. So you're doing a lot of subjective qualities here when you're dealing with something like scent, which is almost a personal thing when you get into the nuances. What does your girlfriend smell like, Josh?
You know, you quasi-jest, but there are certain websites that apparently collect the laundry of people and then ship them to prospective suitors. Actually, that happened. Sort of evolved out. Well, but this isn't like basically like, you know.
That's a great idea.
Because you got pheromonal activity at play and all that sort of thing. My wife smells like perfume, I guess. This is going to sound sort of
freshly scrubbed or something.
This is going to sound worse than it is. But my wife smells like a bed, not like in that sort of like a bed, but like, you know, sort of in that like comfy, I'm relaxed sort of like let's lay down and just close our eyes and feel safe.
Clean sheets.
So, yeah, exactly.
I have an investigator friend who I've known for many years who was in charge of the telephone room at Victoria's Secret. And for many years, she ran a bank of, you know, people answering the phone for that particular company. Panty sniffers. Oh, when they would get returns from customers, they would have actually teams of people that their job was to sniff panties to make sure that they had not been worn and returned after a particular night out. I'm not sure. We're getting into kind of some sketchy territory here in terms of the FCC, but could you imagine that particular job? Well, what do you do, Frank? Well, I smell panties at the return desk at Victoria's Secret.
I bet there's a very specific demographic that is lined up out the door for that. I mean, you know, you look at, again, this is as far as I'll take this because, again, the FCC, but there are apparently vending machines in Japan that sell used underwear. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, there are. I think we probably saw the same article. You know, we're getting into some kind of
blue territory. Yeah.
Yeah, it's we're getting into kind of sketchy territory here, but I think my point is that people are attracted to particular scents, particular smells, and repelled by others. However, when you get into the realm of the paranormal, I think you can really break it down into, you know, most people, the vast majority of people would find a skunk ape not a pleasant olfactory experience, for lack of a better term. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, it's interesting because you had mentioned before the break about just the the non-universal aspects of what is smelly and what isn't. I mean, that's the reason that the military-industrial complex has not been able to completely codify a stink bomb. There have been some attempts at this, but certain cultures, like, you know, certain cultures, if you look at any culture's food, like, certain cultures think things are smellier than others. And what's really interesting is that, like, a lot of these tendencies seem to be learned, in terms of, as I mentioned earlier, like, the garbage man thinks that garbage smells like work. We think it smells like trash. A vegan might think that bacon smells like death. I think it smells awesome because I love bacon. So a lot of these things are learned, but if there is one smell, and this is what I keep coming back to with, like, the whole paranormal angle, if there is one smell that seems to be universal in terms of aversion, in terms of, like, realizing that this is something I should get away from, it's that sulfurous smell. It's that hydrogen sulfide, that sulfur dioxide smell, that sort of alerts us to the fact that this is dangerous, this is something that we shouldn't be around. So if there is a conscious component to the way that these particular phenomena smell, in terms of them selecting a scent, it seems like they want to be noticed, you know?
Yeah. Well,
sorry, I didn't mean to completely derail you. Something I haven't.
Well, no, you're not. It's just reminding me that I have a problem with my well, and if I don't use a particular sink or faucet during the summer for, you know, 3 or 4 days, when I turn it on, I'm assaulted with kind of a sulfuric smell from the water, and it's very unpleasant. And I've gotten used to it, but at the same time, you never really do get used to it fully. It's just, you recoil from it. And whether that's, I'm not sure if that's ingrained, learned, programmed into my subconscious, but I do recoil from that smell, that kind of sulfuric smell.
I get it. You know, my wife is from Florida.
It's tough with a woman and bring her over to the house and tell her not to use that sink.
Yeah, my wife is from Florida, and I feel like Florida as a state has, you know, hotel water, as I like to pejoratively refer to it as, you know. And, I've talked to a bunch of people from, like, certain states like Florida that have kind of what I would consider subpar water, and they don't even realize it anymore. You know, they're just completely acclimated to it.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix and Albuquerque have terrible water because it's very old, ancient, naturally desalinated seawater that's been sitting there, you know, becoming more and more hard and mineralized over millions of years of just sitting there. And Nestle actually wants to open a water bottling plant in the Phoenix area, which to me is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. But number one, there's not enough water. And to actually try to capitalize on some of the worst water, I think, in a major metropolitan area in North America, it blows my mind. But I digress.
Well, this one fast thing. What a lot of these companies do is they use reverse osmosis systems to clean the water before it's bottled. But yeah, it is kind of strange that you get bottled water and you have no idea where it came from. Supposedly the processing system would make them clean, I would hope.
Yeah, it's interesting, Chris, about the bottled water. You do realize that if water is bottled and sold in the same state, the FDA has no purview over that?
Wow, I did not know that.
Say what you want to about the Randy Eitz, Penn and Teller, but I did find their Showtime series. It's not FCC polite, but BS is the name of their Showtime series. And, like, they made fun of Nick Redfern on one episode, which obviously I'm not a fan of. But, like,
sacrilege.
No, I like Nick. But there's some episodes of theirs that are quite illuminating. Their bottled water episode was really entertaining in that respect.
Well, there's been some exposés about Dasani, that particular brand. There's a number of brands that they literally just turn the tap on, fill the bottles up, and use city water, and charge you more than per gallon than you pay for gas.
Yeah, no, that's what really gets my goal. Supposedly, they'll claim they run them through a processing system to clean up the water, but who the heck knows, really? We've got a lot more to come with Gene, Chris, and Joshua. You're in. The award-winning graphic converter, the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. Get 20% off from lemkesoft.de/gene. That's lemkesoft.de/gene. As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9256. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9256. Call 1-800-958-9256. 1-800-958-9256.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
America made food stores are love to eat. Yum!
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Some people say the Paracast is going downhill, going to the dogs, smells. I don't agree with that. Chris, don't we have a few questions from listeners for Joshua?
Yeah, give me a second to dig them up here.
Okay, just to let you listeners know, sometimes when we get news of a guest, most of the time we put up a thread in our forums at forum.thepowercast.com called Question Bank. And it gives you a chance to ask questions of our guests. And it's different, obviously, than interacting by phone. And we haven't done that because the logistics of trying to set up phone conversations when we're pre-recording this is a little bit difficult. Chris?
Yeah, a good question from Han, and we have not talked about this particular quality of smell, but it's ozone. And he says, I'm very interested in this subject because smells are so powerful in triggering memories. When I read the description of the show, I was instantly reminded of when I smelled lightning. To explain briefly, I was fishing when a lightning storm came. I instantly dropped my rod and took shelter under a bridge. Lightning struck very close, and the air was filled with an odor. My best attempt to describe the smell would be to say that it smelled very similar to when you hit one piece of flint rock against another. I know this is not paranormal, but I just wanted to say that when, from my personal experience, that when a high amount of energy is released, an odor can be given off. And of course, he's talking, I think, about ozone, isn't he? Is that correct, Josh? Are we talking about ozone?
100%, absolutely. And this is not paranormal, but entirely germane. So there's been a longstanding conflation between sulfur and ozone. You'll find some old Flying Saucer Review articles where they say people say that when they see UFOs, they've been smelling sulfur, but they're actually smelling ozone. Well, I kind of have to call that as sort of a specious conclusion. But yeah, ozone is one of the more common UFO smells. And the fact that people don't realize what ozone smells like sort of confuses the issue a lot, because a lot of times we say it smells like burning wire or it smells peppery. And that's what you'll hear in cases. So ozone doesn't appear at all in Sasquatch cases, obviously. But it does appear in not only UFO cases, but also certain spirit cases, specifically in seances where ectoplasm has been reported to smell like ozone, or exorcisms. What's interesting about that is that ozone will appear in an exorcism scenario after the subject has been exorcised. Which is interesting because, as we all know, ozone is a disinfectant. Ozone is used to remove smells. Ozone is used to purify. So that's one aspect of it. But if you look at the ufological aspect of it, again, you have this conflation between sulfur and ozone. Like ancient classicists, I believe Homer used to refer to lightning coming down from the sky and smelling like sulfur. So obviously you've got this conflation that has gone all the way through, like Ben Franklin has made this similar mistake. But you will find plenty of cases where people tend to smell ozone. What's really interesting to me is that a lot of these cases tend to coincide with cases where people have seen blue or purple light. Now, ozone is not only produced by, you know, the stripping of certain molecules with lightning strikes, electrical discharges, but it's also photochemical. And basically what that means is that, you know, when we see the arcing of electricity, we're usually seeing the illumination of the air. Ozone can also be created by ultraviolet light, which often has a purple or blue character. So it seems to suggest that whatever this is might possibly be producing ozone as a byproduct of its appearance in our atmosphere, which is interesting also when you compare, you know, the certain symptoms that people have when seeing UFOs, vague sunburn-like effects. Perhaps the object itself is creating some sort of ozone field, which actually, believe it or not, shields people from even more intense ultraviolet effects. So actually, they're lucky that they got off with a sunburn. But all of this is tied into this really confusing thing, because a lot of people don't realize what ozone smells like in general. What I do find interesting is that you'll find people who claim that meteorites will also smell similarly. The idea that something from space might actually have this sort of ozone, sulfur, gunpowder-ish smell. None of those, I think, are particularly similar, but you'll find people conflating these different ideas. So it's part of this tip of the nose phenomena that I mentioned earlier, where you'll find people who are confusing ozone with sulfur and vice versa. But ozone is definitely one of the most common smells that you encounter. What's interesting to me too is that if you've ever heard of people talk about like fresh mountain air, the reason fresh mountain air smells fresh is because pine trees tend to exude volatile organic compounds which interact with the atmosphere at that certain altitude and produce an excess amount of ozone. So then it comes into question, well, if people say that something smells like pine trees, does that mean that they're smelling ozone? And believe it or not, there are cases where people have smelled pine trees or pine-like scents around UFOs. So it definitely seems to suggest that ozone is at least, again, I personally, from what I've seen, I don't think that it's the most common ufological smell, but it might be like the second most. I think that's a very real possibility.
And one thing that kind of leaps out in my mind, I was working for a video production company, and they wanted to clean the air when they moved into a basement space for a studio. And I remember the owner brought in an ozone generator that he rented somewhere, and he forgot that he turned it on when we left. He was going to come back and turn it off. He forgot. When we came in the next morning, I'll never forget that smell. I really never, up to that point, really could put my finger on what ozone smelled like. Well, I sure could after walking into the studio. It had a very, very distinctive smell, and it wasn't particularly unpleasant, but at the same time, it wasn't.
I suspect it wasn't
a cachet of pleasant smells either.
Right. I suspect that if more people were to have experiences like that, we would have a lot clearer idea of what they're smelling in certain UFO encounters. Because it seems like from everything I'm sure that I've smelled ozone before. I don't know that I can put my finger on it, but I'm sure that if I smelled it again, A, I would realize it, but B, I don't think that's a very easy scent to like describe to someone. You can say like burnt out electrical wiring, but that doesn't really seem to convey the nuances of how ozone really smells.
Yeah, I'm as you're talking, I'm trying to describe what that smell
trying to form was. A scent picture, which is not. Yeah,
it's very difficult, and that brings up a point that we really brought up very early in the show is. You know, the very aspect of languaging and how it's used to describe smells, very, very difficult.
Not only that, but, like, it's the fact that you cannot form a scent picture really does argue against the use of hypnotic regression to describe smells.
We've got more to come, and not just smells. With Joshua, Gene, and Chris, you're in.
It's the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. you can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com. And if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You were saying, Joshua, that in terms of things like hypnotic regressions of abductions, that the issue of smell is difficult to talk about?
It is. There is a certain amount of the populace that will readily admit that they cannot form smell pictures. I believe it's like 40% of the populace will admit that. And scientists and psychologists are pretty certain that a lot of people can't really form scent pictures, quote unquote, in their mind. A lot of times if you form a scent picture, you're more often than not forming either A, your emotional or physiological reaction to it, or B, like, well, I guess physiological, like just in terms of like the way that you're if something seems acrid and it stimulates your, again, trigeminal nerve, you might remember that particular aspect. So that brings up a lot of questions in terms of how we should treat smells remembered under hypnotic regression. For me, I tend to take in as much data as I can. Unless something smells, pardon the pun, smells really bad, I discard it. For me, I tend to think of myself as almost like a folklorist who has a strong urge to say what if. But I mentioned earlier the Antonio Rulon study of UFO smells, and he actually threw out smells retrieved under hypnotic regression for this very reason. Is because, you know, we can't really recreate that in our mind, and if we can't recreate it in our mind, we probably would not have a very fruitful result of trying to, you know, re-engage those sensations under hypnotic regression.
This has nothing to do with anything, maybe. But I remember as a child, maybe 8 or 10 years old, going through a period where everything had a foul odor. And I think sulfur, maybe. But this went on for a period of time and then it disappeared. But I never had anything that I'd perceive as a paranormal experience, or maybe I've forgotten it all.
Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like your first girlfriend.
This was a little before the first girlfriend.
It sounds like you had a brief flirtation with what is called kecosmia, which is the unpleasant interpretation of pleasant smells. Again, there are various psychoneurological conditions that people experience regarding smell. Anosmia is the inability to smell. Dysosmia is a distortion of smell, so you're misinterpreting smells. Phantosmia, as we talked about earlier, was the smelling of smells that aren't there. And cacosmia is the unpleasant interpretation of smells that everyone else considers pleasant. So it sounds like you had a little bit of misfiring there, perhaps.
Well, that and living in Brooklyn.
Oh, it wasn't so bad.
Hey, when I lived in Brooklyn, I was right above a bagel and bialy shop. I'll tell you, that was the nicest smelling place I ever lived. Every morning. Oh,
that smells awesome. Sounds awesome, yeah.
Oh, man, when they were cooking those bagels, even the garlic bagels smelled good when they were cooking them.
Those are the old-fashioned union-based bakers from New York. There was a baker's union. And a friend of mine told me once that if you got into that union, and I suspect it no longer exists, if you got into that union, you had a job, a guarantee of a job for life with a decent pay.
Well,
I never heard from him again, though.
The flip side to that is the first time at the mall in Flagstaff, Arizona, I was going to buy a pair of sneaks or something, and I always wondered what that factory was just upwind of the mall. And unfortunately, the wind was blowing in the wrong direction that day. And much to my horror, that factory was the Purina dog chow plant.
Oh.
And,
I've
cooking puppy chow and rendering animals rivals any pulp mill in almost any feedlot that I've ever been exposed to. It was disgusting.
I'll see your food chow, your dog chow experience and raise it to going to school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which I have a great place in my heart for, but no, actually, it wasn't the cheese thing. It was Madison sits on an isthmus, so it's between two lakes. And they have dairy barns, on one of the lakes. And there were some days where that smell would come off that dairy barn. You would spend all day walking to class looking at the soles of your feet because you're like, I must have stepped in something. What did I step in? Where is it? doing the 2-foot shuffle. Like, ah, no, that smells like, yeah. That happened from time to time.
This show is just taking us to the edge, crossing the edge, going over the edge. Chris, are there some more questions?
Yeah, I have a really good one here. This is from Wade, who has been a longtime faithful poster at forum.theparacast.com, where our listeners get a chance to post questions for our guests. And in this case, Joshua, you're on the we'll see if you pass the smell test on this one. Interesting. I've never heard this. You may have maybe a leg up on this situation. And according to Wade, he's not even sure where he found out this information, but I'm going to throw it at you.
Yeah, just repeat Wade's question, and just repeat Wade's question, that'll probably cover it. Yeah.
In regards to the sulfuric smell that is reported to be associated, I read somewhere that it would be possible to transform oxygen into sulfur, but it would require an energy source that is currently far beyond our current capabilities. And he puts 2 billion volts with a question mark. Even if there is a foreign energy source that could somehow be introduced into our environment that could explain this smell, wouldn't such a source manifest itself in another way that would draw attention to its effects? Now, have you ever heard that you can actually transform?
I actually have. So this is sort of tying to that thing that Kiel thought, that you could produce hydrogen sulfide by manifesting some sort of amount of energy in our current reality. I don't put a lot of stock in that, but Emmanuel Velikovsky, in his book, in the Beginning, which I believe was never published, mentions that, you know, so Velikovsky was sort of the father of the electric universe theory, and he suggests that sulfur could be generated from pure air via an electrical discharge, but like the amount of power that we're talking about would be like would rival current modern particle accelerators. So that's not out of the question for what an advanced civilization could implement, but it doesn't. Again, for the reasons that Wade mentioned, it doesn't seem like it would be an inconspicuous event. And again, like this is all very, from my understanding of it, it's all very theoretical. So I don't really put a lot of stock in that particular suggestion, although I have heard of it, definitely.
Well, that's a new one on me. I had no idea that you could do that.
You've got to look at like the prevalence of sulfur in the universe. I mean, I believe that it's like it's in the top five most common elements in the entire universe. So there's no shortage of sulfur in general. But to suggest that a discharge, I think it would. Let me put it this way. I think you would smell a lot of other things with a discharge that large before you'd smell sulfur. You know, like your hair singed.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. You'd go through a whole, probably a gamut of smells before you got to that point. But, well, I figured I'd throw that one out there because it's an interesting concept. But here's another question from Harry Newton. And this is a good one. He kind of put on his thinking cap for this one. Have you looked into smells that can scare off or drive away spirits? And do you know if there are any smells that can do the opposite?
Ooh.
Can we touch on this a little bit?
Let's cover this in our next segment. Attract spirits, drive away spirits. Some things I'd like to attract. That's another story. Gene, Chris, Joshua, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Investment Rarities, a 43-year-old company, has created the best silver offer ever. Get a U.S. Silver Eagle, Canadian Maple Leaf, Austrian Philharmonic, OPM Pierre Bar, and Silver Round. Have all five for $99 postpaid. You heard me right, 5 ounces of silver below cost. No credit card fees, free shipping. Just $99 and you'll have a great start on what it takes to survive even the worst economic storm. Act now and receive Jim Cook's exclusive paper explaining how it's possible to make a fortune in silver today. Don't miss this opportunity. Call 800-328-1860. Read how the above-ground supply of silver has dropped below even gold. The secret is being suppressed. The price could explode at any time. Call today at 800-328-1860. Get 5 ounces of silver for only $99. Find them on the web at investmentrarities.com or call 800-328-1860. Call now before it's too late. 800-328-1860.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD, and if untreated, could lead to blindness. The good news? AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that may reverse some vision loss. For free AMD information, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. There is a cure in sight.
My name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, Joshua Cutchin, you're on the carpet for that one.
I'm on the hook. I feel like we sort of discussed this a little bit with the whole idea of frankincense in certain instances.
Right.
Instances, not instances, but instances. There's definitely a connotation that certain entities dislike certain scents. And that's been common through occultism since antiquity, actually.
Okay. But how about attract them?
Well, you know, we talk about the use of incense in certain occult settings in terms of, like, providing that set and setting for that particular event. There is some literature out there, and I didn't dive deep into the grimoires for this, but there is some literature out there that suggests that sulfur, again, can actually have an attracting effect as opposed to a repelling effect on entities from the other realm. So this sort of dovetails into a larger issue, which I do talk about, which is the idea of sulfur in alchemical thought. So sulfur was part of the two contraries, sulfur versus mercury, in ancient alchemist texts. And because of that, like, you see this theme repeated throughout a lot of different cultures. The yin-yang is sort of a representation of this, and the fact that, like, some of the attributes of sulfur are present in mercury, and some of the attributes of mercury are present in sulfur. But what's interesting to me is that you find many philosophers who have been interested in the occult, many people like Carl Jung, have often equated supernatural phenomena to mercury in terms of, like, the mercurial ideal in alchemy. So that means being very fluid, being hidden, being just slightly occulted underneath the reality of their day-to-day life. But you haven't found a lot of people who compare paranormal phenomena to the sulfuric ideal of alchemy. So I find this to be sort of a certain dissonance, right? Because the mercurial analogy works so well with supernatural phenomena, but the sulfuric analogy doesn't really work that well in general. And yet you have things smelling like sulfur. So I think that's part of a that's part of a larger rabbit hole that I would love to dive down, but I don't think we have the time for right now.
Right. And you could join Alice as she's chasing after that white rabbit. I know of a smell. I know of a smell that attracts Bigfoot, and it's supported in the literature. And that's the smell of humans having sex is an attraction to Bigfoot. We have a number of cases, including the DuPont Monster case from Illinois, where teens making out and having sex in parked cars in a particular number of lovers' lanes would attract, evidently, the attention of Bigfoot. We had cases up here in the White Mountains of Arizona, five in a row, actually, where couples engaging in sex found themselves, you know, looking at a peeping Tom through the open window. So that may be one example. Another example, well, maybe I shouldn't go there, but that could be one possible thing. So the scent given off by humans engaged in sex, whatever the pheromones and other complex smells given off in that particular act, does have some possible correlation in the literature.
No, that's a great point, and I've heard that as well, too, this sort of pervy Bigfoot aspect. Because of the nature of this particular research project, I didn't really delve into – it's sort of like the inverse of A Trojan Feast. Like, a lot of people looked at that book and said, oh, so does it mean that aliens eat strawberry ice cream? No, that's not – that's the other side of transmission, right? So I didn't really delve into that too much at this point, but yeah, I've heard similar stories at great length. You know, and about people in lovers' lanes, people, you know, having sexual interactions during a flap in a particular area, seeing Bigfoot. But to me, that sort of interfaces with a larger reproductive question. You know, like the whole fairies substitute changelings, and aliens are interested in hybridization, and Sasquatch is just a pervy peeping Tom, as you will. So I think that's sort of. For me, I think it's more tied into that than actually the whole scent thing, but there's definitely a road to go down with that in terms of, you know, the scent of that act perhaps being encouraging for Bigfoot to investigate.
Yeah, I've also heard menstrual blood as well. I think that's less right. Find less examples of that, but
there have been some people. I believe there was a group of all female Bigfoot researchers who I believe it was an all female group of Bigfoot researchers that captured the Skookum cast. I might be misspeaking on that, but as I recall, that sounds a bit familiar.
Yeah, I totally forgot that detail, but wow, that would be interesting.
I think that might be the case. I'm not sure, but I have heard of like a group of female Bigfoot researchers getting together to do the Bigfoot thing in the hopes that their, you know, feminine scent might attract. On the track, Bigfoot.
This all sounds so skeezy.
Saying this aloud, it sounds so skeezy. Their feminine scent. Yeah.
You know, I've always wondered why Dr. Scholes hasn't done an ad campaign featuring a hot and sweaty Bigfoot and some sort of anti-odor sort of shoe insert.
Yeah, they could just borrow the Jack Link's beef jerky costume, right?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, boy. That was downwind to Denmark, that one. That was a little fishy.
Now, we're not going to stop the puns here. We have time about a minute or a minute and a half. So, Joshua, where do you take your research from here? Is there a third book on this, or do you go somewhere else?
Well, that's the big question. Like, I'm fascinated in this idea of, like, the senses and how they interface with anomalous encounters. But I'm a bit hesitant to, you know, do like a sound book or, you know, a touch book because nobody wants to read a Trojan Touch. I mean,
a Trojan Touch. Ooh, this is getting fascinating.
Don't stop, E.T. Oh, that feels good.
But I don't want to be pigeonholed in a certain, like, sensory aspect. So, I don't know. I'm kicking around a couple of different ideas. Again, that Kelly Hopkinsville Goblins idea is sticking in my craw real hard.
That's a real good idea.
And I think we're reaching the end point of, like, I think the last witness is getting up there. So that would be a good point to, you know, engage. But I'm thinking of a couple ideas. Right now I'm just trying to focus on letting people know about this book, because this is a lot harder than the last one. I can guarantee you that. Yeah. So that's sort of where I'm going from here.
It passes the smell test, and he had to fumigate his home after writing this book. That's not even true. I don't think so. Joshua, can you tell our listeners where we can find more of your stuff?
Absolutely. I maintain an ill-supported blog at joshuacutchin.com. I probably post a blog post once a month on there. But the best place to hear my ideas and thoughts is at the podcast Where Did the Road Go? At wheredidtheroadgo.com. Me and myself, Soraya Azcath, Red Pill Junkie, and Michael Hughes are the current roundtable contingent, and you'll find me there on a weekly to bi-weekly basis.
You can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. The Paracast is on Twitter. A pair of Paracast fan clubs exists on Facebook. No sense is involved, but does make a lot of sense, but not financially. We've got a special feature of the show called the Paracast Plus. To learn more about it, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We offer a commercial-free version of the show. We offer the After the Paracast podcast. We offer lots of other stuff. Some more videos are coming. Show transcripts, special classic episodes. I'm a little negligent about putting those up, but I have a bunch. I'll put them up in the next week or two. That's plus.theparacast.com. Our price, cheap. This has been a fun show. No more smelly puns. Joshua Cutchin, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
My pleasure. I'd rather be a smart feller than a... you get it.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.